Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
You have any fun tidbits?
Tidbits.
I don't know.
when this episode airs, we'll be coming off an extra hour of sleep.
When's daylight savings?
Sunday.
Tomorrow.
Ooh.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's Sunday, but like 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Yeah.
I always look at Saturday as the day because I start changing my clocks at like 7 p.m. in anticipation.
So it's an extra hour we gain.
Mm-hmm. We
oh,
fall back this
weekend. Yeah. I always feel bad for people who work overnight.
Oh, it's trippy as fuck.
Yeah. When I used to work overnights at the fire station, I would just sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter. But
really get that opportunity very much.
Yeah, but like when you're at like a hospital or something, you have to be awake. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, mom.
I feel like that should count as a holiday and you get extra pay for working.
Well, my mom worked a couple of them. And the first time she worked it, because it is, you literally work an extra hour.
Yeah.
And the extra hour was not on her paycheck. And it was a whole, she was the only one, first of all, who noticed and like went to payroll and was like, hey, and they were like, oh no, you'll get that back in the spring when you work the other daylight savings and it's an hour shorter. She was like, what if I don't work that day? That's half a year away from now. It was a battle to get them to give her that hour back.
I would be so livid.
Me too.
Yeah, like, it was so ridiculous.
I would be like, okay, well then I'll work an hour less tomorrow.
It's also just like, because I've worked, I think it was last year, and it was a busy overnight, and I literally watched the clock go from like 2:59 to 2 again.
I feel like that would break you.
It's
internally.
It really is.
But you know what's weird to me is that like half of the, like some states don't do it.
Yeah.
So like
I thought we were discontinuing it.
I think that
a couple years ago they talked about it.
They're talking about it. I think the problem is they don't know what time to commit to.
Mm.
Because both times have pros and cons. Where like on the one hand, kids go to school and it's light outside for them.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're leaving work and it's dark. Then there's like some scientific research with like depression is involved and
seasonal affectivists.
Yeah, so they talked about it, but then they couldn't decide what time to commit to. And so then there's a presidential election and everybody stopped talking about it.
Can we like split the difference and just like do a halfsies?
Something other than the constant flipping.
I don't know. But like you know how like people work and live in different states sometimes, if you're close to the border.
Mm-hmm.
What if you, like, worked in a state that didn't have daylight? That would confuse, like, okay.
If you were, like, right there on the edge?
Yeah, so, like, you know how I live close to the border at Maryland?
Mm-hmm.
So what if Maryland didn't do daylight savings, but Pennsylvania did? So then, like, my phone automatically changed the time from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., but Maryland was like, you're late for work. Because they didn't change from 7 to 8. So at 7 o'clock when I was supposed to be there, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it would take a lot of very deliberate organization and planning and taking careful care of what time it is all the time.
I feel like it would be too stressful.
So what if you're like, you work across states, but they're different time zones?
True.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Yeah, some
it's not even a daylight savings thing, but what if you just live near the edge of one of the time zones?
Yeah, I was gonna say some states, like half of one state is in a different time zone or something. Mm-hmm. Time is weird.
I feel like our listeners are gonna think like, God, what did they smoke the first 5 minutes of this episode?
Well,
it was just
if we've been recording this entire time that we've been talking, they would think that we were definitely drunk because we were goofy. Mm-hmm. See, what happened is the issue
Let's tell them about it.
Yeah, the problem is that Bailey and I are in the same room.
We're actually in the same area,
She's right there.
which is, it's rare. We haven't done that in a really long time.
I just said we're in the same room, and you were like, we're actually in the same area.
Well, because I don't think they realize that we like record like miles away from each other.
Yes. So we all form like a little triangle across the state of Pennsylvania. But I'm here visiting,
Yeah.
so convenient.
Just not for the sound.
Why? What's wrong with the sound?
No, because it took so long to get it, the sound right. The sound's fine. The sound's good.
But because we're together, I got a little giddy.
She gets really excited to see me.
Just any of my friends.
I'm also your fucking sister.
I thought she was drinking.
Yeah. No.
Okay, great.
I'm
Did you guys
offering
see
a coffee
that
and pastry.
TikTok will be banned in January?
Why? What?
Yeah.
Like for
They're just
real?
gonna
Because
make a
they've
new
talked about it
app.
before.
Somebody will come up with a new app
Probably.
that everybody. Let's bring Vine back. That was
Oh, I
fun.
fucking loved Vine.
I love the Vine
Vine.
clips on TikTok
Me
too.
too. All right. I think we've put it up long enough. We're gonna be talking about Theodore Bundy, who I hate.
I'm so glad that you've done him.
Yeah, I thought that was like, it'd be interesting to cover him because I loathe him so much. Loathe, like hate, not love. You can fuck off.
I know what loathe means.
Thank you. Well, it's just because I feel like with like how I talk, some people think I say love instead of
Oh.
loathe because the TH can be difficult for me.
Know, for
Anyway.
as well known a serial killer as Ted Bundy is, I don't actually know a whole lot about him.
You
I don't
know a good
know. I
bit.
know I have like an overview, but I don't really know the details, so.
I just didn't know we were doing this today, so I'm not mentally prepared.
Great.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah, we've come too far.
I knew a good about bit about him, like going into research. I didn't know how accelerated he was.
Accelerated? What do you
Yeah,
mean?
like how frequently he killed.
Oh.
That
Yeah,
was eye-opening.
he was a busy boy.
I also, there was an A&E special series that was it's called Invisible Monsters, but it like called it the golden age of serial killers, because essentially the Green River Killer, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, and BTK were all pretty much operating in that decade.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
70s were wild.
Yeah.
All right.
Real quick, wasn't it the from Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill? He was
Yeah.
based off of Ed Gein, my guy,
And Ted Bundy.
and your guy.
Yeah.
No, all we
Now he
need is
just
Lacey to do Ed
tying it all
Gein.
together. Which Ed Gein would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't see it for being one of Lacey's cases.
No, that's definitely
She's
one of your me's.
not very gruesome.
No.
Could be gruesome.
Lacey.
You want me to be gruesome? I'll be gruesome.
Oh, jeez. Now she seems intimidating.
Well, I'll do my best.
well, anyway, we're gonna start with a quote, because Ted has a lot of quotes. He said, "I deserve certainly the most extreme punishment society has. I think society deserves to be protected from me and others like me."
Fair.
He's,
Great.
yeah.
Very self-aware.
January 24th, if she's talking, you need to let me know. I can't hear
Oh, okay.
her.
She whispers it quieter.
Well, she just apologized.
January 24th, 1989, at the age of 42, Ted Bundy was executed.
Oh, no.
I know, it was a really sad day in Florida.
Oh,
So sad.
shoot.
So thankfully he does get executed and he's no longer on the face of the planet. But of course we need to go back to the beginning.
Yeah, why did he get executed?
He killed a bunch of people.
Oh dear.
Yeah,
it was no good. No good.
So Theodore Robert Bundy was born November 24th, 1946 in Burlington, Vermont.
And he was executed on January 24th.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
2 + 4 = 6. How many victims did he have?
30.
So not ish. 6.
6 divided by 2 is 3.
Add 0. 30.
What a time to be listening to our podcast.
How much of this are you cutting out?
None.
I've, for context of what my notes are, I've made it 3 sentences deep in 10 minutes.
I support your choices.
Great.
You seem to be a little distracted tonight. Why don't you focus up a bit?
Why don't you fuck off?
Oh,
okay. The only thing we're losing this week is listeners. I can't hang.
So Bundy's mom, Eleanor Louise Cowbell was 22 when she was pregnant. She was an unwed mother and gave birth in a home for mothers like her in Vermont.
You can see just your hand in my video.
Where?
Right here.
Oh, there you are. He was supposedly his mother's secret shame. Stop going through the
Sorry.
And the birth humiliated her deeply, religious parents. So her parents, like, actually sent her up to Vermont. A few months later, after he was born, he and his mother returned home to Philly to live with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
His birth certificate lists his father as unknown. There's a few theories of who his father was. I think the most, like, common one and who Louise says his father is.
Eleanor Louise?
She goes by Louise.
Gotcha.
Was an Air Force veteran and a Penn State graduate.
That just seems like something that moms tell their sons just to make them think that their dads don't suck.
There was like another guy named that could have possibly been him. Some people also theorize that like maybe he was a child of like incest, like her dad.
Oh. Yeah. How old was she?
She was 22. But his birth certificate is unknown and blank, and
yeah. Mystery.
It is what it is.
So when they brought Ted home.
Teddy.
Sure. Ted's grandparents thought it was a great idea to say that they adopted him. And he was actually the sibling of Louise. Because that's not confusing.
Oh, they pulled that little bait and switch.
Well, otherwise it would be embarrassing because she was unwed.
Yeah.
And that never goes wrong. So, never. Foolproof.
Lying to your kids is always a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
His grandfather was a bastard and supposedly beat on Louise and him. He was mean to cats, dogs, employees, and family members.
The dad.
That's not funny. I just, that list of things. Cats, dogs, employees, family members.
They're all just looped together.
Yeah.
At the age of 4, Louise took Ted and moved to Tacoma, Washington, which Ted supposedly hated Seattle, but he's a 4-year-old, so who can really go
what
by that?
What does he know?
The following year, 1951, Louise met and married Johnny Bundy, who was an Army hospital cook. Johnny adopted Ted, and Ted took his last name, so Ted gained Bundy. Johnny and Louise appeared to have, like, a good marriage. They went on to have, 3 or 4 more children. Ted grew up in a content working-class family, but he resented his father, stepdad, being too uneducated and working class.
I feel like that's a theme for Ted Bundy. Everybody is beneath him.
Yeah. And like, so the fun thing is, like, I don't know where he got this snobbery from, but it's
snobbery.
Like, it just seemed like it came right out of the gate for him.
Yeah, because his mom and her parents weren't like wealthy, right?
Not really.
Okay. I was like, did I miss something that Bailey said right away in the beginning? No. Yeah. He just decided to be a snob.
Yeah. And an asshole. Johnny tried to form a bond with Ted. They went camping and other father-son activities. But his attempts were unsuccessful, and Ted remained emotionally detached. Ted grew up to be materialistic and wanting expensive clothes and things his father couldn't afford. So this caused more issues between Ted and Johnny. At the age of 3, supposedly, Ted was obsessed with knives.
I think I know that. Go ahead.
On one occasion, his aunt supposedly woke up to find him placing knives near her sleeping. And everyone kind of just, like, brushed that off in the morning.
It's really normal.
I mean, if your children ever did that to me, I'd be like, oh, what are you doing?
You stinkers.
And who knows, maybe they were all butter knives.
Yeah. Although, those tend to injure more often. People who are wielding butter knives think that they're dull, so they're less likely to be careful. Is what I've...
They're barely serrated.
No, I know, but like when you're cutting something, you're more careless with it, so it causes more injury than people who are more careful with a bigger knife.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the other ones are sharper, but like people just don't...
When he was young, he was awkward and shy. A young girl in his neighborhood who knew him from the age of, like, when she was, like, 5 to 15, she said her brother and the other boys in the neighborhood would hang out with him, but her brother told her to stay away from him, from Ted.
Probably because he was a freak.
Well, they said that he was mean-spirited. He also apparently liked to make traps with stakes pointing up in the ground and would hide, like, sticks and leaves over them. Can you imagine the, like, trap at him?
Yeah.
One girl from the neighborhood fell in one and, like, gashed up her leg.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Ted really liked scaring people and hurting girls. In the Boy Scouts, he came behind another scout and hit him over the head with a stick. He supposedly also enjoyed pulling apart mice in the woods.
Pulling them apart?
Yeah.
Is that actually red flags?
Yeah. In another instance, someone said that he'd like to go buy mice from a pet store and, like, play God with them.
By pulling them apart in the woods?
I think also just, like, figuring out who he wanted to kill. This is a trigger warning. In another occasion, the neighborhood girl remembers Ted hung a cat from a clothesline and set the poor thing on fire.
Jesus.
While it was alive. At the same time, though, there was a report that he saved his friend's niece because she was at risk of drowning.
Well, he wasn't ready to kill people yet.
It's a very contradictory thing that he did there.
Maybe he doesn't want people to die accidentally. He wants to be the one calling the shots.
Yeah.
Because I think he's kind of got, like, a god complex going on.
Oh, 100%. He's like, well, like, and he's a full, like, psychopath, so he thinks that he's smarter and better than
anybody. Plus, if he's feels like he's better than other people, but also, like, wants people to treat him that way, saving your friend's sister in front of everybody is a good way to
get
a little bit of hero worship. Niece.
Okay. While in school, he was pranked a lot and teased by bullies. Through it, though, he remained focused on his schoolwork and maintained a high grade point average. Around his teens, he decided to do some fun things and became a peeping Tom.
Sure.
And then also a shoplifter.
Sure.
Now, we're in Washington, and he wasn't really good at other sports, but he loved skiing. But when he couldn't afford equipment, he stole it. He also forged lift tickets, which is, like, the whitest
rich kid's problem.
Yeah, thing, like, crime to do ever. He even attempted to steal a car at one point.
Can you imagine?
But received a warning.
If you, like, so, you know, if for people who have never skied before, sometimes when you're on the ski lift, you have to ride up the mountain with, like, a stranger. Can you imagine if you were riding up the mountain and you like Ted Bundy was just sitting next to you because he fucking skis.
It does feel weird that he had just like a normal person hobby.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's actually got a hobby that doesn't involve murdering animals.
Well, and like the other thing that this like the Annie like special pointed out was like how they all just hid in plain sight so well.
By skiing?
No, like Ted like had a relationship while like he was like murdering. Yeah. Like he was going to college while murdering, like.
Well, you've gotta have extracurriculars. Right. You can't throw all like if you only worked, that wouldn't be full Bailey.
You need a work life balance.
Yeah.
You're right.
And his work life balance was school, girlfriend, murder.
Yeah. In high school, he became even more of a loner. He kind of, like, fell behind socially. He said, it wasn't that I disliked women or were afraid of them. It's just I didn't seem to have an inkling as to what to do about them.
He was just better than all of them.
Yeah.
It was, you know, wasn't worth his time.
Mm-hmm. He also developed quite a porn addiction.
Sure.
Some people believe that he found his grandfather's collection when he was quite young, and he was with his grandfather in the house until he was 4, which is a little alarming. One report I saw was in school he would sometimes go to a closet and masturbate, and then when his classmates would catch him, they would just throw water at him.
Like spraying a cat to keep it off the counters.
Exactly. Or to get your dogs to stop humping the pillow.
Yes. I think it's incredible that it happened more than one time. Imagine the humiliation of being a kid caught masturbating at school by your classmates who already bully you.
I'm just like, so he was in a closet. How many kids are, like, what? What?
I don't know.
I wonder if it was like a, what is it, voyeurism type thing?
Mm.
He wanted to get caught.
Maybe he liked being caught, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's like Peeping Tom, so that's like one.
In high school, he, again, because he fell behind, like, socially, he wasn't, like, into, like, partying or drinking or doing
anything. Well, nobody wanted to invite him over because they'd go into the closets.
Yeah. But this forced him to, like, be, like, harder and, like, not harder, but, like, stricter in his schoolwork, which made him even more arrogant and snobby. In his senior year, he also volunteered in a local political race. So, you know, we're getting really good people around politics. That's awesome. Sometime as a teen, he found out the truth about his birth and his father.
Wasn't John Wayne Gacy really well. Also, like, a political?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So as a teen, Ted actually discovered that he doesn't know who his dad is, and his mom is actually his mother and not his sister.
Oh, I forgot that he didn't know his mom was his sister.
Yeah. He discovered, like, he actually, like, found his birth certificate around this point. And needless to say, he was really upset about it. His one friend tried to comfort him and, like, said, like, oh, you're, like, it doesn't matter, it's fine. And Ted was like, well, it's not you, that's a bastard. So.
He took it kind of hard then.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm.
Which I feel like I get, like, you were told from the time you were young to the time that you were 4 that, like, yes, you're, like, your mom's your sister, or, like, that's your sister, but, like, your sister literally took you across the country, and you don't think maybe this is my mom?
Yeah.
Like, how'd they beat that into him in the first 4 years?
What I was going to say is, how would you feel if all of a sudden you just found out that I'm actually your mom?
It's been 28 years.
Yep. Surprise!
Yeah, he'd be probably a little mad.
I was very young.
You were 4.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe he was just kind of like, this seems weird, but I'm not gonna
think about it too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when he got the birth certificate, he was like, that was, that, he thought of himself as, like, he's just so much better than everyone else. And then when he found out that he was a bastard, quote, that is like
that just knocked him down a few pegs,
right off his high horse.
That's probably true. So after high school, he attended the University of Washington. Through school, he worked low-level jobs as a busboy, shoe clerk. He was never able to maintain one position for too long.
Because he was a bastard.
Well, he also continued to be a petty thief, stealing from both school and work.
That'll do it, too.
And then eventually worked his way up to burglarizing homes.
Well, yeah, you gotta, you know, you can't stay at the same level. You gotta, like, you know.
You got
shoot for the stars. If you miss, you'll land on the moon.
You have to climb the ladder, no matter what you're doing.
At least he does, but I quoted that wrong.
Something like that for sure.
While at the University of Washington, he was studying psychology.
I don't love that.
Yeah, and you're not going to love the next part as we continue. He learned specifically in one of his classes that you can get an empathetic person or people to do just about anything if you appear disabled or injured.
Yeah, see, I don't like when serial killers or sociopaths or psychopaths or whatever learn psychology and then use that to, like...
Use that later on to, yeah. To,
like, perfect their craft, so to speak. Yeah. Or to get out of something.
Yeah.
You should have to do, like... you should have to do, like, a psychological exam test to get into a psychology class.
Sometimes some of them are so smart that they can, like, work around it. Because I think Ed Kemper did that.
Yeah. No, Ed Kemper learned from other people. Was he the one who was in mental institutions as, like, a teenager and then learned from other people? Yeah.
I feel like he did.
I don't know.
Or he was someone that was, like, in those institutions.
Then I'm just going to give up and say the serial killers are just going to find new ways to get around the system and do whatever they want and kill people.
I mean, well, thankfully, it's really hard to be a serial
killer. All is lost. Okay. There's no point.
She's being so positive. During college, he started dating a upper-class woman named Stephanie Brooks. Mm-hmm. She was beautiful, connected with a wealthy family She had connections from being a part of a wealthy California family. That's the sentence I wanted to say. She represented everything he wanted, but was still working to achieve. Like, she had everything.
Yeah, he's just going to skip to the step by marrying into the money.
Yeah. She was his first love.
Aww.
And possibly the first girl that he was ever sexually with.
Can he
outside
love?
Outside of a closet.
What'd you say?
I said outside of a closet.
Yeah.
I think he loved the idea of her.
Yeah, he loved what she represented.
Yeah, I don't think he could feel love. However, she was not into him the way he was into her.
Oh, well, he was a bastard.
Yeah. She liked him, but she didn't believe that he had a real direction or future goals. And this led to Ted trying really hard to impress her, even lying, which... she especially didn't like.
What?
I know.
Women love being lied to.
And in 1968, after she graduated, she broke off the relationship with him and moved back to California.
Ouch.
How did he feel about that?
He was devastated.
Oh, dear.
He started losing interest in many things and started, like, failing a little bit in school, which is a huge thing for him.
He was depressed.
He was super depressed. But do you think, like... you'd, like, move on, like, amicably, like, she doesn't want to be with him.
No. I would set her house on fire.
He didn't do that. He still, like, wrote her a lot and tried to keep in touch with her.
Oh, I went too aggressive with my...
He eventually turned it around and started working harder at school, becoming more driven and confident. And then he met Elizabeth Kendall, she would end up writing The Phantom Prince, My Life with Ted Bundy. She was also played by, like, Lily Collins in the Netflix movie Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile.
Is that the one with Efron?
Zac Efron, yes. Liz and Ted would date for about, like, 5 to 6 years, starting in 1969. Liz was a divorcee with a young daughter, and she was working as a secretary. She fell in love with Ted and wanted to marry him one day. When she met Ted, she was actively struggling with alcoholism, and Ted actually took care of her, and she later said that he was warm and loving. Between 69 and 72, Ted began looking for law schools and was even more active in politics. He helped another Republican Party election and volunteered at a crisis center for a work-study program. He was even commended by the Seattle police for saving the life of a three-year-old boy who was drowning in a lake.
Is that
the news? He saves a lot of drownings.
Why is he hanging out next to lakes so much?
It's Washington.
Still, though, like, you know.
The lake state.
What do we have around here? What's a Pennsylvania thing?
Creeks.
I was going to say Amish.
We're in the Amish. We have the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a little sus.
Okay.
Is he putting them in the lake and then saving them?
Maybe.
Angel of Death style? Mm-hmm. Or who are those firefighters that light their own fires just Angel to put them out?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. In 1973, he went to California for a Washington Republican Party, where he took the time to meet up with his ex.
Oh, good.
She was really impressed with how much maturing and growth and he's done.
But he's with Liz. Yeah.
He is with Liz. But she decided to give him a second chance, and they continued to meet up anytime he was in the state.
But he's with Liz.
Yeah. The following year, in 1974, he actually ended all contact with her.
Good.
After she had started to fall in love with him, and they were even talking about marriage. But he wanted to reject her just like she had done.
I was going
to
say, that sounds like a revenge plot.
Yeah.
That feels like one of the most normal things you've told us that he did.
Yeah. He's going to make himself all better, make her fall in love, and then dump her ass like she dumped him.
Yeah.
After he did that in 1974, we start to see his murderous urges hit a boiling over point.
Do you think he got, like, a satisfaction from ruining her?
I think so, and
he was I could do this again.
I firmly believe that, like, because you'll start to see, like, his victims supposedly look very similar to her.
So this is all Stephanie's fault?
I think, yeah.
Fucking Stephanie.
So, the following years, 1974 to 1978, he would go on to kill approximately 30 women across multiple states.
That's the way to do it.
So, let's get into it.
Okay. Can I turn the picture?
Yeah. Oh, I just unplugged my laptop again! Anyway. So, Linda Ann Healy was born July 3rd, 1952. She was a student at the University of Washington. At 21, she was a radio host announcing ski conditions for the Western Washington. She was described as beautiful, tall, slim, with shiny, clean, long brown hair, and a lovely smile.
Shiny, clean.
She was from a good upper-middle-class family. She enjoyed singing and was in her senior year majoring in psychology. January 31st, 1974, Linda and friends went for drinks after dinner at a tavern popular with the university students. They didn't stay long. Linda went home to watch TV and call her boyfriend. Her roommate in the room next to hers heard no noises through the night. The following day, February 1st, Linda normally got up around 5:30 a.m. for her job, because, you know, you need those ski conditions that early.
What was the first date? Oh, January 31st. Never mind.
That was the last time, like, anyone, like, yeah, actually saw her. One of her roommates heard her alarm going off, but the alarms kept buzzing, which was strange for Linda.
Also, probably very annoying.
Yeah. The roommate went to shut off the alarm when she heard the phone ring, and it was Linda's job asking where she was. When going into the room, her bed was made and nothing appeared to be disturbed. So they assumed that Linda was probably just on her way to work and running late. Later that afternoon, Linda's parents called the house, saying that she was missing from dinner, and that's when the police were called. Now, looking into her room, her bed was made up, but in a way that Linda had never done before, simply because Linda was not one that normally made her bed.
Sorry, I'm just hung up on the fact, so let's say she's supposed to be at work at 7. Yeah. Her alarm goes off at like 7 for some reason. And then her work calls the house to say, hey, where's Linda? Roommate says she must be on her way.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. 8 o'clock. Still not at work, but they're just like, maybe she's still on her way.
Maybe at that point they just wrote her off as like a no-show.
Yeah, why did they call?
It's a different time.
She works at a radio station. Someone needs to do this ski report.
They probably just got coverage.
I think they're at fault.
Okay.
And should be held responsible. Okay. The person outside agrees with me.
Anyway, so back to Linda's room. She never really made her bed before. They also noticed a pillowcase and the top sheet were missing. There was a small blood stain on the same with the same type of blood as Linda's, found on a pillow and the bottom sheet. Blood was on her nightgown and was found hanging in the closet. One of the doors to the house was unlocked when the girls were all quote.
So someone cleaned up, but not really.
Or didn't make that big of a mess.
No, but like he like made the bed, he hung up her nightgown, but like left the blood. Like he didn't make an effort to clean the blood. He was just like, I'll tidy up, but I'm not gonna clean. Really half-assing it.
But also, like, it's the 70s, forensics aren't really a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, he probably just didn't care.
I think that's it. I think that Ted Bundy doesn't care.
One of the doors to the house was unlocked when the girls were, I think, home, but they were always vigilant about locking it up at night. So somehow he got in. No fingerprints, hair, or fiber evidence were gathered. They didn't suspect foul play initially. I don't know. I can't answer.
Well, women bleed at least once a month, so.
And when we do, it gets on walls and stuff, and we just leave it.
During this time, it's important to remember that it's a very, like, free spirit people going on in the world. Campuses were, like.
Bleed wherever you want.
Well, campuses were thought of being, like, safe, and serial killers simply weren't a thing yet.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't abnormal for girls just to, like, leave and, like, follow a guy or join a cult or something.
Yeah, like the green emerald triangle girls.
Yeah. Eventually, the police theorized that an intruder had somehow gotten into the house, removed her nightgown, made the bed, and wrapped her in the top sheet and carried her out of the house. She will forever be known as Ted's first known victim. But before we continue, is it possible he had an even earlier victim?
Oh!
No.
Somebody he threw into a lake? And didn't save?
So maybe. Anne Marie Burr was 8 years old.
Is she related to...
Burr? Sir?
Yeah, Aaron Burr.
I don't know. She was 8 when she disappeared from her Tacoma home in the middle of the night on August 31st, 1961. Bundy was 14 at the time and lived only a few miles away. At the Burr home, it was found that there was an open window, a footprint, and an unlocked front door. Anne Marie's parents and sister were home when she disappeared.
How old was she?
She was 8.
Oh.
Mrs. Burr felt that it was likely her daughter had known her abductor. Now, Bundy did have a paper route at the time and could have very well, like, seen her and spoken to her. He also had an uncle who lived in her neighborhood.
Yeah.
He's always denied responsibility, even when Anne Marie's mother wrote to him before his execution.
I feel like he didn't want to admit to a child. Do you think differently?
I think the fact that he snuck into a house was able to quietly remove one woman who, I don't know if I mentioned it, but her bedroom was in the basement.
Linda's?
Yeah. Was very, like, it doesn't feel like a first one to me.
No, I agree. I think that he did take the 8-year-old, he just didn't want to admit to it, because in prison, crimes against children are.
But he was on death row, though.
Yeah.
And,
he was 14 at the time. I just don't know why he wouldn't admit to it at that point. I'm trying to think of why he wouldn't.
His last victim was also a child.
Never mind. I don't know.
We won't be getting to her today, but his last victim was 12.
Then I don't know why he wouldn't admit to it.
I think we'll talk about it too in like the next, because this will be a two-parter, because there's a lot of
it's Ted Bundy
to go over. I think towards the end, he kept on like trying to, I think, get a stay from his execution, like saying that there's like more victims and everything.
Yeah.
I think eventually the governor just was like, we can't keep doing this.
Yeah. Like, well, I know what you're doing. We need to knock it off
this earth. So I just don't think that like he got that opportunity to own up to it. He also like for the longest time wouldn't admit to any of it. Like he was
save people like, from lakes
sentences and everything, and was like, no, it wasn't me. You're the wrong guy.
Well, he's smarter than all of them. So, side note, and interestingly. Yeah. I saw there's like a TikTok, a guy who's like, interesting maps.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was like a map of the United States, and each state it had the average cost for like housing a prisoner,
mm-hmm.
and what's the state that's right above Louisiana? Is that Arizona?
No, right above Louisiana is Arkansas.
Was the cheapest,
mm.
and Massachusetts was the most expensive.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
I feel like, well, because no offense to our Arkansas listeners, if we have any, it feels kind of like backwoods. So
well, it seems that
they would have a lot of amenities.
Well, I think that it was more because it seemed like a lot of the southern states were cheaper,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is that they don't care
about like reforming or anything.
Well, no, they were just like, you're in prison.
Fuck off.
You're not getting 5-course meals. All right.
Back to Ted. So that was, I could see him probably starting young. I mean, he was a peeping Tom. He was starting to burglarize homes. Like,
he had to.
Yeah. Like, he had to start somewhere. I don't think.
Do you think maybe it was an accident?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he snuck in the middle of the night. Like,
I really, my favorite thing, this is going to sound sarcastic because where we are, but.
Who we are?
Yeah. But I really think it's amusing when I suggest something and you're like, no. Just shoot it down. So, yeah, Arkansas, it's $23,000 a year, and Massachusetts.
Person in prison?
To house a prisoner.
Jesus.
And that's the lowest. Highest is Massachusetts with 307,000.
What the fuck are we giving to them in mass?
We're not giving anything because we live in PA and it costs us 67,000.
Okay, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Bundy's next victim would be Donna Gail Manson. She was born June 9th, 1954. And she went missing on March 12th, 1974. Now, if you remember, Linda went missing in February of 1974.
When did Donna go?
Donna went missing in March.
Okay, yeah, so.
Donna was 19. She is a student at Evergreen State College in Olympia. She was last seen by a roommate at 7 p.m., whom Donna told that she was going to a jazz concert. She was never seen again.
I also noticed dark hair.
Yes. Stephanie had long dark hair as well. Mm-hmm. Bundy later confessed to burning her skull in his girlfriend's house. And
Liz.
Yeah.
It's
important to know that Liz was completely blindsided by this. She
had her own thing going on. She had a kid.
Well, he was so good at hiding that he was able to put on different faces.
He's still though. If I walked into my house and I walked into the bathroom and I was like, Lou, it smells like something burning in here.
It's a candle.
Where is the candle?
Flesh candle.
I smell burnt hair. What are you burning? What's all that shit in the bathtub?
I'm tired of your questions.
I'm glad Lacey's talking. She was quiet for a while.
She was.
I was talking a little bit, and I was like, they're fully ignoring me. I was muted.
Yeah,
I muted to blow my nose and forgot to unmute myself.
You thought we were ignoring you.
All right. Next would be Susan Elaine Rancourt. She was born October 12th, 1955.
She looks different.
She does a little bit.
As in, she doesn't have dark, long dark hair.
At 18, she was a student at Central Washington University in Ellensburg. She was ambitious and always dreamed of going to college. She was really enjoying her college time as well. April 17th, 1974, she had made arrangements to study with another dorm mate, but never returned.
Do they ever find bodies?
They do. For the ones I'll be going over tonight, they find them all in the same spot later on.
That's a pretty clear indication that they were probably killed by the same person.
Yeah. When she didn't return, her roommate knew immediately that something was wrong. Campus police were called. I think the regular police department was called as well. Witnesses saw someone that looked like Bundy wearing an arm sling and asking her for help outside the college library. He needed help getting his books to the car because he was in a sling.
Do you think that he, like knew anything about them? Or did he just find a girl with dark, long dark hair?
I don't think he had the time to get to know them or stalk them with how fast he was going.
So he probably just, like, put on a sling or walked around with crutches and was like, I'm gonna see if I can get her to help me. So do you think that whoever his target was that day did refuse to help him, and so he was like, fuck it, let me see if Susan will help me? It just seems that he had a specific
type. Susan was kind of out of it.
Yeah.
I think the other, like, I mean, it's possible. Susan was the first one, like, willing to, like, help him.
Yeah.
Because
I can tell you, I have long dark hair. I'm not helping anybody.
Well, the problem is, Ted also was, like, to those standards and to a few crazy people, like, quite attractive.
Sorry, let me just go back to a photo.
In the 70s, he was attractive back then.
I don't know.
Anyway, the other thing, if you haven't noticed, is Ted is going to different campuses each time.
Well, yeah.
And different jurisdictions. So you may be wondering, he's on his third victim, how is no one putting, like, these crimes together?
Well, it's the 70s.
And police departments don't talk to each other at this point.
Yeah. Also, he's smarter than everybody.
So smart.
So.
Next, we have Roberta, or Kathy Parks. I think Kathy was her middle name, but she went by Kathy. She was born February 27th, 1954. She was 20, attending Oregon State University. So we're in Oregon now. On May 7th, 1974, she was last seen at 11 p.m. She left her dorm. She was last seen at 11 p.m. on the 6th. She was leaving to get coffee with some friends, and she was supposed to meet up at the Memorial Union, but never showed up.
So he's like February, March, April, May.
Yeah,
what a month.
Quick. Next, we have Brenda Carol Ball. She was born November 8th, 1951.
And see, we're right back to the victim profile with the dark, long dark hair, even with Kathy.
Yep.
I think Susan was just a victim of opportunity.
Probably. She was described as a free, fun-loving spirit. She was unemployed at the time of her disappearance. She was 22 and disappeared, was reported missing June 1st, 1974. The night before, she decided to go to the Flame Tavern in Burren, Washington, which was, like, just outside Seattle. And she was last seen leaving the club and was seen talking to a man with his arm in a sling. Next, we have...
What help does he need?
I don't...
Like, the library, probably to carry books.
Yeah, that was his ruse.
But, like...
Yeah, next we have Georgina. Georgiana. Georgiana? How would you describe that?
It just ends with two N's?
Yeah.
Georgian?
Georgian. Hawkins.
Who was this born. Photo looks like she's a movie star.
They colored it.
That's an enhanced image.
You're an enhanced image.
Thank she you. Was born August 20th, 1955, and at 18, she was kidnapped from the University District of Seattle. She disappeared the morning of June 11th, 1974, going to her sorority.
That's like 2 weeks after the last one.
She was last seen leaving her boyfriend's residence hall. She had good relationships with friends and was a good student, so like her like running off or ditching was like ruled out quickly.
Unlikely.
This will be the last woman we'll be talking about tonight. But as you can see, since February, he's taking a single woman each month.
Oh, except for June.
Until June, when he did two in just like 10 days. At this point, he flew under the radar, crossing jurisdictions and even state lines. 5 out of 6 of these girls were in Washington, 1 was in Oregon. And none of these victims had been found yet.
It's because he's smarter than everyone.
Well, it's because he's hiding them in the wilderness.
Because he's smart.
But that's where we're going to end it. He's going to ramp up as we go, and we'll start to see him, like, full on, like, frenzy soon.
Oh, this isn't frenzied?
You would think. But, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, how do you supposedly start with Linda and have such a short cooling off period?
Like, he went from 0 to 100 very quickly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we're...
But, like, at the same point, sorry, Lacey, but, like, if his supposed first victim was years before.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
That's what I was gonna say. If we do feel like he might have been responsible for that first one, I feel like it's hard to believe he went so long. How old was he when he killed Linda?
Do
you remember?
20s, I think.
He was, where's the calculator?
I couldn't remember if you told us or not.
Do you think there are more victims that we just don't know about that were before Linda?
Yes.
Maybe. If he did what kill that girl when he was like 14, for sure.
I don't know. He was 28 when he started.
Okay, so half, 14 twice years. As old as when that girl was killed. I found if he did kill her, which we don't know, but I think we're all kind of leaning that way. I found it hard to believe that he killed her successfully at 14 and then went 14 more years without killing anybody.
Successfully and to the point that, like, nobody found her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And suspicion wasn't cast on him, I'm going to assume, until he was caught as a serial killer and people started looking into his past. So he, like, fully got away with that if he did it. Yeah, there had to have been others. That were probably, he was just as good at hiding them as he was with that first girl.
Yeah, like, I think he's owned up to 30. But, like, there are experts that are like, there's no way. Like, there's got to be more. Like,
yeah.
How do you have that, like, time frame and that timeline and just, like, suddenly start?
I agree. I think he... was much slower in the beginning and like perfected the craft, and then once he like perfected it, he went crazy.
Yeah, it also is just like a huge escalation, because he goes from stealing someone in their house while stealing they're asleep, someone.
Oh, this was the 90s, never mind.
To like having the like confidence to charm girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's more victims.
It does feel like we're missing steps along the way.
Yeah. Well, we have plenty of more victims, unfortunately, to talk about in part 2. And depending on time, hopefully we get to the trial. There might be part 3.
Oh.
He did a lot.
He's a busy boy.
Yes. But in like literally in 4 years though.
So much.
That surprises me, because at the rate he's going, he's on, like, I was going to say, he would easily get 30 in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he does have, like, a cooling off. He takes a break.
he gets caught.
Oh no. What, and then released?
He escapes.
Oh no. Oh. Oh yeah. Twice. Yeah. One from like the courthouse, right? And then the other from a jail.
Well, the courthouse was the jail. Oh. And then when they got him back, they took him to a much more modern jail.
He's slippery.
Yeah. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.